I've been hoping it would get cold enough for the ground to freeze again because we were running out of wood and I needed to go in the woods and get my truck filled up. And I was able to do that, except for this one nice spot in the woods that when I first went through there back in September, it was just a damp spot. But now that I've driven my truck through it several times, I think I went down a foot when I went into it. And I ain't gonna lie, it's fun. It's real fun. Oh, praise God. You know, I've been thinking of some things this week, and even as of, I think we were talking about them this week, and just never, nothing really set in for me. And then, you know, last night I was like, God, Father God, you know, I got to preach in the morning. What do I preach? So everything was quiet. And I'd went to bed at 10:30 last night. So that meant I woke up probably around 4. And I'm not getting out of bed. If it's dark outside, I'm staying in bed. But I laid there and was in and out for a little while. And as I did, God began speaking to me. And even when he was speaking to me, I was like, God, what am I going to preach on today? He says, I just told you. Oh, yeah, we were kind of talking about that earlier this week. But, you know, and what it was is we were talking about faith. Faith is so simple. But religion has turned it into 10 steps to have faith, 10 steps to develop your faith, 10 steps to walk on water. Well, if you can take 10 steps walking on water, I salute you. But I did in youth group years and years ago, I made, it might have been a bit braggadocious, the claim that I would walk on water. Yeah, we'll see. Not that I don't think God can't. I just know God's not going to do it just so that I can be bragging about the fact that I walked on water. But some of the things, you know, I've been thinking about is just how simple faith is and why, you know, we've gotten so far away from things that were true. The Christmas season. The church gets their panties in a wad every time somebody puts Xmas. X represents Christ in the Greek, people. But we get our panties in a wad. By the way, his name's not Christ. He was the Christ. His name was Yeshua, whatever Joseph's last name was, and it was not Justice. There's a Jesus, Joseph Justice in the Bible. And it was not the father or the stepdad, as you were, of Jesus, our Messiah. But we've taken things that were supposed to be so simple, and we've turned them into great, extravagant things. And you know, and here's the hilarious part is God shows off with creation all the time. But the beauty is in the simpleness of it. You know, the first song we sang, do you all pay attention to the background? The snowflakes? The simplicity of a snowflake. But yet, when you take the time to look at it, it is gorgeous. And no two are alike that we're aware of. People. We're really rather simple. Only a couple dollars in chemicals and stuff and blah, and boom, here we are. But yet God saw so far into us that it just, in the last 30 years, have we discovered that there's this stuff called DNA, and I'm not even going to try to mutilate the full name of it. My science teacher could probably help me out on that, but I know it's di something acid, so DNA. Actually, Justin should be the one speaking all this, those names. But anyhow, you know, God saw that in the details, everything is beautiful. Atoms. Justin had to make, was it a nuclear, or an atom? He had to, a helium atom this week for school. And, you know, and things of this nature. And we look, and it's like, it's so simple. But what it can do, what the DNA can do. They can find out who your relatives are in Europe or Africa or Asia just because of that little bit of information. And you don't look anything alike. I think Phil and I, we were actually talking this morning about Vikings. And, you know, on not only did my heritage goes back to Scotland, but how we got to Scotland is because we're Viking. Unfortunately, they apparently don't wear the helmets with the horns and stuff like that, so I don't want to be a Viking. But just how, I think it would be interesting to find out how many relatives I have in Norway and Scotland and the Netherlands, that whole region up in there. Because there's also relatives somewhere on the north coast of Africa. So it's like, this is so simple, but we've turned it into something so ridiculously difficult. So today we're going to talk about that. Back when I was a child, when I say a child, well, I was 12. I was 12 years old. We had this cat. Now, back then, I wasn't the cat lover that I am today. This black stray cat showed up at our house, and it was a cold winter, and we brought the cat in, fed her, and took care of her, and called her Queen Esther. Well, Queen Esther, she found her Xerxes, and she had a litter. And in that litter, she had, I think, about 4 kittens. And so that meant all of us could have a kitten that we took care of. I had this little blue-eyed, smoky one, long hair, beautiful little cat. And then there was this black and white, well, not black and white. It was gray, silver-striped, tiger-striped-looking cat. And one day, you know, we lived in an old, old, old house. It's probably the oldest house right in that area. But the cellar door on the outside was just a huge sheet of plywood. Y'all, anybody that ever had to lift one of those knows how heavy they are. And once you get them going, you don't try to let it down gently. You just let it go, especially when you're 12 years old and weigh about 60 pounds. And I had let that door go, just came out of the cellar, let that door go, and one of them kittens had stuck its head in there. And I look up here, and there's this little kitten just a flopping. I was like, oh man, it wasn't mine. But I ended up burying mine later. It got hit. But I grabbed that cat, and it's just a flopping in my hands. Mind you, I'm 12. I prayed for God to heal that cat. Cat quit flopping. I know I broke its neck. I set the cat down. It ran off and played. No idea. Eventually, over time, I'm sure something got it, or it grew up and went to a farm where it was safer. But the cat lived. And the reason it lived was not because I was a great person of faith, but because I acted upon something that was so simple that it took a child to activate it. What I want to look at today, we're going to look at some things. I guess let's go ahead and open your Bibles this morning. Let me get my notes out here. I don't need them. to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go to verse 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. This is also called the love chapter. So this whole time he's talking about love. But then he gets down to verse 11 and he says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." I have been racking my brain, and I've thought about this. I thought, you know, that is true. We grow up, we put away childish things. We realize, okay, there is no such thing as the tooth fairy, the Easter bunny, Santa Claus, right? We put away those things. We make things, honestly, a lot more difficult. But as I was reading this, as I was contemplating all these scriptures, I was reminded of what Jesus had said. Unless you become as a child, you have no part of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so which one is it, God? Do I become a man or do I remain as a child? Jesus said, I should become a child. We'll read these scriptures here in a moment. And the Apostle Paul's telling me I need to grow up. Well, we do need to grow up. And we have to remain a child. Here's what as I was contemplating these holy smoke, when the Holy Spirit hit me, I was like, I got to read this again. What is it? Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Well, we know how children speak. Simple things. How did you speak? When I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, right? I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. How many of you guys wanted to be firemen or whatever? You wanted to do something great and adventurous, but something happened in life and you had to grow up and suck it up, right? Childhood went, pfft. I understood as a child. We understood things simply. We took people on their word. You said you're going to do this. I expect you to do that. What do adults do? They lie through their teeth. And we yell at the children for lying. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Again, we read scripture so sterile, so boring. Paul was saying, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. Jesus told me I should be as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. I don't believe Paul was saying this in a positive light. He was saying, I put away the things that mattered. The simple things in life. How many of you are still dreaming? I am. If I'm digging a hole, I'm dreaming about what it's going to be. I love watching Gold Rush. I realize why I love watching that stupid show. Besides, I get to sit there and yell at the idiots that are being idiots. It's because they dare to dream. And they're running some really big equipment. And I did like that part of working in a mine. When you're a child, you dream. The world is a new place. When you get a little older, we become jaded, don't we? Yeah, this is as good as my life's ever going to get. Well, it's because you quit dreaming. Your faith stopped right here. When you were a child, your faith meter was off the charts. You could do anything you wanted. We tried, didn't we? I can't tell you how many times my mom would come out, because my dad was either at work or someplace else when, you know, we were kids, and she'd come outside, and there we are. I mean, my brother was 6 years younger than me. It's usually him and I. And so if I was 12, he was 6, and most of these times I was 10 and under. So there we are at the top of this ash tree. How we got in it, I look back, it's like, man, I really had to work to get into that thing. Today, it's not a big deal. I became a man. I grew, and it's like, oh, wow, I remember I had to go hand over hand on this limb to get up here and hang, and I was 3 feet from the ground. Today, I can walk up here and do this. yeah, that was a real daring thing. But then I looked at the top of the tree and I was like, oh my goodness. I remember climbing up there. My brother and I, we used to do stupid stuff like that. We parachuted off of the house into the bushes. Not always with a parachute. Nothing was going to stop us. Nobody was going to tell me I wasn't Evel Knievel. Except the gravel. It shook me out of my dreams a few times. But when somebody told me that I could lay hand on the sick and they would recover, as a child, I believed that. And that is why I laid hands on that cat and God healed that cat. Not because I had preached the gospel mightily across 7 continents. Not because I had done great works of God, but because I simply had faith that Jesus said, if I asked, it would happen. Now, as I said before, we all know the truth. You grow up, you become jaded. Why? Because of lies. And I blame the clergy for as much of this. Well, you know, that preacher, he took off with all the money. Yeah, he did. He's going to pay for it. We've got to watch ourselves. We're responsible for us. I don't care who told you what lie. You've got to pull out of it. You've got to recover. You've got to grow. You've got to dare to dream some again. Well, you know, I don't, this little town's holding me back. If it is, then God's going to move you on. If not, this little town's where God brought me back to. Because that's the way I felt about it. I didn't even live in this little town. I lived in some place with no neighbors close by. But you see, as a child, you believed there was a Santa Claus. Because somebody told you there was. And you saw gifts. And sometimes they said, from Santa. You believed it. But then somebody at school said, you big baby, there is no such thing as Santa Claus. You went running home to your mommy or your daddy, and they had to tell you the truth. We get bent out of shape because people like fantasy. Be honest with you, that's why I like movies. It's a fantasy. It's not my life. I love Pirates of the Caribbean. I wanted to be a pirate. Swinging from sail to sail, mast to mast, with a sword in my hand. Wanted to be Tarzan. Can't tell you how many times we ran around the house in our underwear outside. Another reason it was a good thing we grew up in the country. But we're jaded. We're jaded because religion lied to us. And when religion couldn't justify it, why it happened, people started saying, well, you just didn't have enough faith. The truth of the matter is, we don't know why some things happen and some things don't. Where preachers should have stepped up and said, you know what, we don't know why. We don't know all of God's will. Anybody that says they know all of God's will for their life or anybody else's life is a liar. Because my life has taken turns that I would have never saw coming. I never foresaw coming back here and preaching. Because I didn't foresee coming back here. But God did. God knew where I was going to go. God knew who I had to run into and who I had to stay away from. God knew that my pastor in North Carolina was going to fall. And he got me out of there. because I didn't need one more. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 18, go to verses, I believe it's 3 and 4. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Folks, I'm telling you, there so many times I believe there's salvation. I believe people get saved and they're saved. Inheriting the kingdom is a different deal. Jesus talks about this. Paul talks about this. The thief on the cross. Hey, I call you Lord. Boom! I suddenly inherit everything that these disciples are going to do. No. That's salvation. You will be saved. But the kingdom is a totally different deal. The kingdom requires severe discipline in our lives. Not the kind of discipline that we become non-approachable, that we are cold, uncaring people. That's called religious. But Jesus said, unless you are converted. He's talking to adults here. People that are grown. And he says, unless you are converted, that means you are changed from this to that. You will not enter the kingdom. You don't get to go through the gates. Do you get this? It's not inheriting it. You don't get to go through the gate. Unless you humble yourself as a child. You know, children have to be taught to hate. If you were to bring a black child and a white child in here that had never been exposed to any of the atrocities that are going on, they would play with each other like there was nothing different. But you bring a black child and a white child in here who come from racist homes, they will fight. They had to be taught to hate the other color. And the truth of the matter is, they probably share a lot of common DNA. Especially if we could find Adam. We become adults based on what happened to us. Marriage should be forever. But it isn't always. Fathers should love their children, not run out on them. We have become too smart for our own good. We don't know, today we really don't know up from down. We have educated people telling us, let your children decide whether they're a boy or a girl. How dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? This is the world we're in. Yeah, I'm going to let the kid who poops his pants tell me whether he's a boy or a girl. You can't master going to the bathroom. Really? A kindergartner on Kindergarten Cop. Anybody remember that? Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. Boom! A 5-year-old. That's all it took. But what it started taking is people starting getting jaded. Well, you know, listen, I understand there are people, legitimate people, who are born with birth defects and abnormalities. Okay? They are born with parts that are not right. I can understand that. And the church needs to get their head out of their own backside and quit preaching that they're evil people. I could only imagine what it would be like. I know young boys that end up growing breasts. They don't know why. Unless they're trying to take steroids. Then we know why. We have forgotten what it's like to be children. When I was a child, my favorite place in the world was the dirt pile. That's what we called it, the dirt pile. It was probably only really about as long as this row of chairs and about as wide as the both of them together. But we had our Tonka trucks in there, our bulldozers, tractors, shovels. I mean, I kid you not, it's not a very big... We had the Grand Stinking Canyon dug in that thing. It was actually going to be a bear trap is what it was going to be. But it became a mine. And when it rained, it was our lake. We dreamed. Today you ask a 12-year-old, go out and play. I'm not, that's silly. That's little kid stuff. Now I realize that they're blaming all this stuff on my generation. That the kids that are growing up got their heads up their own backsides because the parents got their heads up their own backsides. Yeah, it kind of is. But the problem is when we start telling 10, 11, 12-year-olds, you need to grow up. I have got Tonka toys out the wazoo right now. Just because Justin didn't want to play with them. He didn't care for the... Well, that's fine. Joshua played with them. I'll tell you right now, that boy, he mined. He did everything he could. Even after I backed over his dump truck. It was a little wobbly. Just depends on their likes. But I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. The grandson. Or granddaughter. My sister played with us. Because I have this whole great big old strip right next to my driveway that they can dig to China if they want to. And they can make the Amazon River right down the middle of it. They can dig back into the hill as far as they want. See, we become adults, we no longer want adventure. We like what's expected and comfortable. I love going through old houses, and not the kind that you think. I want the ones that have holes in the floor and holes in the roofs. The ones that haven't had anybody living in them for 60 years. I've crawled around in places that I think, good Lord, I should not be in here. Because there's a part of me that has not died. Now, there's things my body's telling me, you can't do that anymore. You really don't get yourself in this predicament. You aren't getting out real easy. You can't jump as far as you used to. Now, that's an unfortunate part of growing up. But what I can promise you is that part that wants to do that, the part that wants to live. I told Joshua, we went over to Marion Friday night, and I told him, I said, I had this great idea the other night. I said, we're putting a pond in, back kind of behind beside our barn. I said, when we put this pond in, I found these things online, they're remote control battleships. I said, you get on one side, we'll get on, and we'll have a sea battle. I said, and then we'll get a helicopter, get one of the other, want somebody else to get a helicopter, we'll fly over and try to bomb them. And then I said, well, of course, now the downside to that is if we're shooting each other in the same direction. So we got to figure this out. You can ask my boys. I fuel this kind of stuff in them all the time. Why? Because somebody somewhere along the line said, you know what? wouldn't it be cool if we could make a robot or a computer that could do this? See, it started out, I'm sure, with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, both. It started out something as, boy, wouldn't it be cool to have a computer that could do this? Because y'all remember what the first computers were like, right? I mean, they were as big as this. And now, I don't have my cell phone on me. My little cell phone's got more technology in it than it cost required to send the first rockets up to the moon. Seriously, this is nuts. But all because probably little boys had a dream. Wouldn't it be cool to make a robot to do this? But see, here's where being an adult comes in. The little boy had the dream of doing this. The grown-up adult who's got a perverted, twisted mind says, yes, we can use that as a missile guidance system. We can use that robot to destroy other countries. See what I'm saying? We take something simple. The church has done the same thing with faith. Yeah, we're gonna blab it and grab it. That ain't how it works. You can name it and claim it all you want. It doesn't work if it's not in God's will for you. You know, we were talking about this the other day, her and I, about, you know, when she saw me one time, you know, she said, God told her, he's for you. God told her. And I can't reiterate enough about people listening to the Holy Spirit. And I said, yeah, he told you that. And I dated four other girls. She dated a couple other guys. Did it mean that God's word was a lie? No, it just meant I hadn't come into alignment with God's word. Or I should say his will, which his word is his will. But for us to become, this is going to sound like an oxymoron, for us to become grown-up Christians, adult Christians, we have to go back to being as children. God said it, I believe it. That's it. That's it. Now I have to ask myself, did God say that to me? I never once have relied on anybody's prophecy over me. Never once. I have done with what the Holy Spirit has told me to do. Not because three different people told me that this was going to happen. Don't care. And when their stuff doesn't come to pass when it was supposed to, no more. And I'm not going to lie, I'd become jaded quite a bit myself. With religion, with the church. I preach about it often, do I not? Because religion jades people. It keeps you from loving people. I'm not saying that we just accept sin. No, I'm not talking about accepting sin. I'm talking about loving the person. The Bible tells us in Romans, we've all sinned and fallen short of that glory. Everlast one of us. Now Mark 10:15. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't want to spend all this time of my life striving to discipline this body, striving to live a godly life, just to get there and realize that I'd become an idiot to God. I didn't believe what I was saying. Well, no. That's for you. That's not for me. I've actually heard that. That's for you. That's not for me. No, the Bible covers everybody. The Bible is not written to one specific group of people, period. Most of the time, the New Testament is written to the early church, which was made up primarily of Gentiles and Jews. People coming from different walks of life. People trying to say, hey, well, you know, you got saved, now you got to get circumcised. You got saved, now you need to wear this thing on your head. You got saved, now you need to take Saturday off. I don't care if you take Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't care. I'd prefer to take them all. But it don't work that way. I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of really awesome ideas. And it's going to take a lot of Sabbaths to get it done. And a lot of equipment. But we are living in such a time, folks. Here, I'm going to tell you something. I really don't care if this ticks anybody off or not. When I saw the video of all the people on the day after the election, they all got together and they screamed. Okay. That is the ultimate stupidity. That is childish behavior. That is the undisciplined side that needs disciplined. I didn't get my way, so I'm going to throw a fit. Wah, wah, wah. Who cares? Right now at the moment, we have got a little psycho in North Korea who wants to nuke us. I don't want a weenie in the office. I want somebody who's got cojones the size of Ronald Reagan's. Come on, Gorbachev, let's do it. I think that's the first time I've said that. Instead of intestinal fortitude. I want my grandchildren to grow up safe. I want my great-grandchildren. That is childish behavior. To become childlike, man, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what country your family came from. I don't care if you're struggling to learn our language. We'll work on it. But we get so bent out of shape that we miss the truth. Now we just got people acting like babies. That's it. And the sad part is the church does the same thing.
You didn't go to school to be ordained. You're not a real preacher.
Oh. Show me in the Bible where Jesus said, go to school, become ordained through religion, and I'll make you a preacher. He said, come to me, anybody who's willing, and I'll make you preachers, catchers, fishers of men. That's it. By the way, he used the basis, the most base reference he could. Fishermen were not looked upon nicely. Okay? They stunk. I mean, just one day out fishing and, oh my Lord. Whew. And then usually what happens is I put my night crawlers in my little thing and forget they're there. Open my, oh dear Lord. That is bad. I guess we're going catfishing today. These men stunk. Nobody wanted. They knew they were Galileans before they could see them, see their clothes. You know why? Because they could smell them. And Jesus used them as a reference. Because he didn't care. He didn't care if there was a diploma hanging on your wall from the First Church of the Frozen Chosen Cemetery School. He didn't care about that. He says, I don't care. Bless God, if I got to rise you up out of the parking lot to praise me, I will do it. And that's what he said. My people won't praise me. The rocks will cry out and praise me. My drill instructors called me a rock a few times. And it was because that's how my IQ was. I know guys that had to actually pick up rocks, carry them in their pocket, and when they asked for their ID card, they had to reach in, pull the rock out, and show them the rock. Oh, but that's going to hurt their feelings. They aren't worried about their feelings. They don't want them to die. We become so sensitive. Children can be mean, yes. That part has to be honed. But children can also be loving. I remember it was in the fourth grade. Like I said, that was about the time I started having problems with my homework. God showed me some things on that. But, back then, you didn't do your homework. You went out in the hall. Grabbed your ankles. Whack! Me and Matt Ross, we were out there every other day. And the hilarious part is we both became Marines. Go figure. I'm not for certain. But I remember going back in. See, and Phil, I think Phil and I were talking about this the other day. When we were little, he's like, I didn't have anything for girls back when I was little. I was like, man, I did. Kindergarten, boy, I was smitten every time I went to school. Girls didn't have cooties. Didn't bother me one bit. Teacher's like, all right, you're talking to your friends. I'm going to move you over at the girls. Played right into my hands. But I remember getting swatted. And I'd come in, and evidently, you know, I tried to, you know, 9-year-old boy, just suck it up. I'm sitting at a table with girls, got to sit down real gingerly because Miss Weaver really reared back on that one. And I remember one of the girls handing me a tissue. They felt so sorry for me. I'm like, yeah, I'm still not doing my homework, but. Oh. But you see, children actually have love. They aren't filled with hate yet. They don't know if you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Catholic. Then they don't know whether you're Protestant or Catholic, or whether you're Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, full gospel, non-denominational, Assemblies, Church of Christ, or whatever other denomination you might be a part of. They don't know that, and they don't care. They just know you're another human being. That's all they know. See, so when it comes to our faith has to be as a child. I remember, nobody ever told me this, and I came across some paintings the other day over in Berlin. In an antique store. And these two paintings, I mean, they were in the wrong shop. This is a gearhead's shop. I mean, there's John Deere pedal tractors all around the top. I mean, it's a building the size of this. If you can imagine, pedal tractors lining the entire top. They had toys. They had gas pumps. They had all kinds of stuff. I was in hog heaven. But up in the top, in this weird little mezzanine area, there were these paintings. I've got the pictures. I took them and I showed them to Angela. I said, these paintings hung in my house when I was a kid. And I said, as a kid, I don't know if they're the same ones, but I said, as a kid, I thought that was my mom and dad. You couldn't tell me it wasn't my mom and dad. And my mom, at Thanksgiving, I showed her. I said, look what I found. And I showed her, she's like, oh, you got them? It's like, well, no, they really don't go with anything we decorate with. But I said, I always thought that it was you and Dad. She said, that's why we bought them. That's what we looked like when, and they did. That's what my mom and dad looked like when they were young. It was a Spanish matador, and the other painting was a dark-haired woman. And kind of in a Spanish flair. And I swore up and down that was my mom and dad. Because I made a connection with it. And, you know, for years, I don't know where they went. Doesn't matter. What does matter is you couldn't have told me any different. That's my mom and dad. Today, yeah, that's not my mom and dad. My mom's a blonde now. I personally want to enter the kingdom. I want to inherit the kingdom. I don't want to just get in the door. And I'm going to tell you right now, you have to take everything that the Bible says as a child does. If you say you're going to do it, you'd better doggone do it. We're going to go. That's why I tried. I mean, I'd always try to get my kids wound up for something. I said, we're going to try to go here. We're going to try to do this. You know, knowing that there might not be the money to actually go do this. But at least I knew they could do something. And, you know, and they've called me, Dad, you said we were going to do this. And it just kind of kicks me in the seat of the can, and I got to get up and go do something about it. As an adult, don't be the person who lies to your children. If you're going to, said you're going to do it. Especially you young parents and parents-to-be. And if you've relating with the jaded side, I can't believe. It's hard for me to believe. You need to forgive. And then you need to become as a child and trust God. Listen, He doesn't cause bad things to happen in our lives. That's a part of this life. Not even going to blame it all on the devil. I'm not giving him that much credit for being that smart. Okay? It's a part of life. Stuff's going to happen. You trust God, you hold on to Him, and He will fulfill His promises. The Bible says His arm is not too short that He cannot save. He can reach out and grab you wherever you are, wherever you need Him, He's there. Don't remain jaded. Let go of the hurts and become the person God really meant for you to be. Maybe you wanted to be an astronaut. Maybe you just became somebody who's out there. And maybe you wanted to be a fireman. Hey, if you're still physically able, I know a one-armed fireman. Knew him since I was in the first grade. Drives a stick. One of the things always amazed me. Always got this little tiny nub. Stick at in a steering wheel, and he'd reach down and grab the gear shifter and go back up and drive. By the way, he's a heavy equipment operator. And he hasn't used his hook since elementary. Oh, but... you know, I got all these reasons. No, you got a bunch of stinking excuses. Dare to dream. Dare to get past all the stuff that people said you couldn't do. You know, somebody told me I couldn't be a race car driver. My buddy said I could. When I wrecked my first car... that was Mario Andretti on black ice. That was the downside. That's the only reason I wrecked. Yep. But you know, your dreams will take... and listen... So many people, so many adults hate their jobs. You know, I remember when my sisters were little, they'd get those little Barbie things that you could put makeup on and stuff. And I can't tell you how many Barbies ended up without hair and other things. Not all mine. I didn't. Phil, would you escort her out? After you quit laughing. Yeah. Not my Barbies. I had G.I. Joe. He had a crew cut. And a Marine Eagle Globe and Anchor tattoo. No, I cut their hair. My sister. I cut her hair. Yeah, I paid for that one. Got my butt beat. It's the day before pictures.
Tell us what you did. How you
cut it. She had pigtails, and I cut the pigtails off right above the rubber bands. No more pigtails. Downside is I took a chunk out of the middle of my hair right here. I looked like I was missing teeth on my hair. But anyhow, I guess I was going down that road to say, if you're cutting hair, you're fixing somebody up, just remember when you were a child and you thought, I'd love to do this. Or if you're operating a piece of equipment, go back and find the joy. When I'm building stuff, I find the joy. When I find that it's gotten to where I hate it anymore, it's time for me to back off from it for a little bit. Find my joy about why I do what I do. It doesn't matter what your project is. I mean, this year, you know, as far as the house and stuff was concerned, man, we had a lot of crap we had to deal with. New well, new line. I can't tell you how thrilled I was. There I was on a mini hoe digging a big 250-foot trench in my yard. Got the skid loader, got to play on that, got to teach my son how to operate the skid loader. We got to do all kinds of stuff. And every time I get in that piece of equipment, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just like, woohoo, I can't believe I'm here. I'm 47, and I still get excited about it. Oh, yeah. I like tracked ones better. You don't feel like you're going to roll over as easy. But that's what you got to do. You got to go back to as a kid. God, my faith, I'm just tired of going to church. Go back when you were a child. I loved going, you know, people, I loved going to church with my grandma. My grandmother didn't go to church until my mom did, so there was no... But even then, when I'd spend the night with her and we went to the same church, I loved spending the night with my grandma. I got to go to church with my grandma the next morning. But your faith isn't going to work if you're jaded. If you're one of these people that says, well, you know, that prayer stuff doesn't work. Nah. You got to go as a child. How many times, parents... did you have to tell your children no about the same thing? Children don't give up unless their spirits have been broken. Did you hear me? Well, I want their spirit broken. No, you don't. All you have is a zombie. Do I want them to stop? Yes, for the love of God, please stop. But I don't want their spirit broken. I have to ask myself, why am I saying no? My kids have come to me, they're shaking, they're like, Dad, can I? And they get it out. I said, sure. Really? I thought you were going to say no. No, I have no reason not to let you do that. You know? Jesse wanted to go to a friend's house last night. I knew the roads were getting slick. Well, he took his car through a ditch and got to do it sometimes. There's got to be your first time for a ditch. Might as well be young enough while you can push it out yourself. But well said, Sawyer, on that let's stand. Uh-oh. Oh, goodness. Be the 8-year-old that's inside of you. The 8-year-old that was full of energy. I know you're getting old and you're old, getting tired. You're gonna, if you keep telling yourself you're old, you're gonna be old. I'm not talking about just psychology. I know people that are younger than me that act like they're 90. The 8-year-old you wanted to go on adventures. The 8-year-old you wanted to do things. I wanted to be an archaeologist. I got to be an archaeologist the other day. I really did. I had my little chipping hammer and my chisel, and I chipped out a heating line in a floor that had busted, and I didn't want to nick it again. So I couldn't take the jackhammer to it. I had to go in. Realized I wouldn't have got along real well with being an archaeologist. You can't use heavy equipment digging up bones, especially in hard rock. So, see, God knew what he was doing, but I still got to play archaeologist. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your kindness towards us, Lord God. Father, I thank you that in your word you tell us that unless we become as children, unless we humble ourselves, that we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Father, we know that doesn't mean we need to be childish. That means we need to take you at your word. That no matter who lied to us, you've never lied. That, Father, that no matter what may be happening in life, that the things may not turn out the way we thought they were going to turn out, that you have our best interests at your heart. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're working with each and every person today, Lord, and with patience. Lord, I know when we ask for that, what's coming, remind them. But Father, that out of all of this, that our faith will grow, that even as a child when I spoke to a cat with a broken neck, you healed it. Father, that is the same faith that I believe and stand in when I speak to people who are sick. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving on everybody, Father, that they realize that this power is not just for me, not just for the apostles, not just for anybody else but them, but it is for them as well. Lord, I pray right now that you help them overcome the jadedness, Father, that the disappointments, the broken hearts, Lord God, heal them. You said that you would heal the broken heart. So, Father, begin to stitch together their heart. Pull it back together stronger and stronger with the binds of love. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them as they go about this week. Father, I pray that for opportunities, Lord, as they arise, Father, that you give them opportunities, whether it is to speak life into somebody, whether it is to just give them an encouraging word, shake their hand, whatever it be, Father, but that they would do it in Jesus' name. Amen.